and we close with the beginning of kosher laws. I'm done, and I don't know what to do with this. We don't keep kosher laws. It's not a requirement for us. He says, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything leavened. So that's yeast. And so when the Jewish high holy days come, people are scraping their closets and their cupboards, and they're getting all the crumbs out because there can't be any yeast. What if it accidentally got in something, and what we offered with yeast? We mustn't do that, right? And so when Jesus had the first communion at the Last Supper, it was unleavened bread. So it was a matzah cracker or something. It was some kind of flat bread. Because when they left Egypt, they didn't have time to knead in the yeast. So they had to eat the bread without yeast. And throughout Scripture, yeast takes on the meaning of sinfulness. A little bit of it, and it'll get everywhere. Right? And it's putrefaction is what yeast does to bread, to dough, before you make bread. Right? But Jesus also said, leaven is like the kingdom of God. A little bit of it, and boy, it just is going to take over everything. So we're in the confusing position as Christians today that the Christian scriptures use as a metaphor yeast for good and bad stuff. But yeast as something, if there's a little bit, it affects all of it. So if you dropped a little bit of food on the ground and then you picked it up, you'd be like, oh, 5 second rule, it's cool, right? If you dropped a little bit of food on the ground and it touched someone, one of your neighbors didn't pick up a dog poo, and you picked it up really quick and you're like, ah. It's actually a psychological concept called, you know, whatever, just wretch, just yuck, right? So then if you said, well, this part touched it, I just won't eat that, but here's the rest of it. Nobody's ever going to, no. It touched a little bit of it. The whole thing's done. You just keep it, right? God says that about yeast in his offering. None of it. Jesus says, if you could just get the gospel there, the rest will remediate. Do you know that you don't have to make someone believe in evolution in order to tell them about Jesus? Do you know that they don't have to believe that the flood happened in order to come to the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you know that they don't have to believe in a baptism in the Holy Spirit in order to come to the cross and repent of sin? You do know that, right? You know that. Jesus came to a man and the man said, I'm crippled and I'll never get in there. And he said, do you want to be well? And he said, go and be well. You're healed this day. And the guy was healed and he took up his mat and he was like, woohoo! And they said, who healed you? And he said, I don't even know the guy. He just said, take up my mat and walk. I mean, maybe I'm working, but the guy healed me, so I figure I should listen to him when he said, take up my mat. It's a silly thing. I know it's the Sabbath. Don't take up your mat on the Sabbath. I usually leave it till tomorrow. But this guy that healed me, he said, take up your mat. And I thought, I'll take up my mat. Maybe I'll follow the guy who healed me. How do you deal with your life in following Jesus Christ? Anything you won't do as you follow Jesus Christ? Thank you, Jesus, for saving me from the surety of the damnation in hell separated from God because of my any sin. But I don't think I'll do that today. Is that how you live your life? This guy, he carried a mat. Jesus healed this guy. God says, when you show up, I don't want any of that yeast. So are you going to follow God, but just not all of it? Are you going to take the benefits of everything that God has, but still live your life the way that you want, and I'll say sorry when I'm done? Because that doesn't work. And in the Old Testament, when God deals with the people, in terms of this Old Testament deal, he says it doesn't work unless you follow me. And so here we are in the New Testament. We're not keepers of law anymore. We're in the New Testament. And the question is, what are you following Jesus? Are you doing the things that Jesus taught? Are you the kind of Christian who when people see you, they say, wow, you look like Jesus. I just caught you in the act being like Jesus. That's the question, and that's the message that comes out of this Exodus. I don't know why, after he says, the best of your first fruits of your ground bring to me. Give God your best. That's an easy sermon point, yeah? And then he says, and you remember Cain and Abel, don't you? Remember Cain and Abel, and they both brought offerings, and God looked with favor on one, and he didn't look with favor on the other? And the Bible doesn't tell you why. I know that when I was a kid, they told me because he brought bruised corn. I don't know if you heard that sermon. It's not in there. Okay? Cain and Abel, two offerings. God said, bring your best. And he was only pleased with one and not the other. And the one it wasn't pleased with got angry and violent and killed his brother. But then there's this last verse in Exodus chapter 23, and it's verse 19, and it's just the second half of the verse. And it's the most peculiar thing, but it is the basis for the entire kosher laws of Israel that unfolded from this idea. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You know? I don't know if that does something bacterially, but it seems that there is something for God that is so obscene about the thing that gives life to the calf being used to cook the calf. And if you're out there in the desert, maybe that goat's milk is the liquid you could use to cook it. I want boiled instead of roasted, right? And God's like, absolutely not. Don't do it. This single verse is the basis for the separation of meat from dairy in the entire Jewish religion. Do you have Jewish friends and you don't serve milk with beef? Because it might come from the same cow. You don't serve cheeseburgers because it might come from the same cow. They don't eat that food together because in the stomach, when you digest and it bubbles, they thought, oh, that's like boiling a kid in its mother's milk. And they take it seriously to this day. The law-keeping people in the world today that have kosher laws, there's no meat and dairy. Because of this one line, second half of one verse, and that's legalism taken to its full extreme, of people trying to please God and do what he said he's calling them to do. But what does this mean to us Christians? Because it really is over. What's the lesson today? And it comes to stuff maybe you already know, but you need to see comes from any place in the Bible. God loves you. And the things that happen to others, he uses for our instruction. And in the Sabbath, God cares for people and the land. And in the festivals, God calls us to remember that he is the source of our deliverance. And he is the source of our provision. God sustains us. And in closing, kosher laws, God steers us toward health, away from obscenity in our practice. That was the point of all of this. I think God to have a shot at our hearts this morning to say, I see you, I know you, I love you. I don't make rules because they just please me. I haven't set standards to trip you up and to measure you by hard stuff. It all matters and it all works. And when it doesn't work, it will come to get you. It's not me coming to get you. It's the consequences of the actions. But I am just and I am fair and I will stand against people who stand against what's right, and I just told you what's right, you know. And so God, we humble ourselves before you and yearn to, well, really, I think at this point we're thankful that this giving of the law portion comes to a close, and then we look forward to hearing from you how you'll guide us as you guided Israel through the desert, how you'll speak to us as you speak to you, Moses or some prophet. And I believe that in Christ and by your Holy Spirit, you have cut out the middleman, and that we might hear from you directly, Lord. So we pray to you and we say thank you that we can hear from your word. And we ask you, Lord, that would you please guide us and would you make it real throughout the week as we study the word further, because it doesn't only happen on Sunday. Would you show us how what you talked about today matters in light of what we'll read tomorrow and the day after? And will you make a difference in our life, because we need a difference in our life, because we're all hard-pressed. And we need a rest like someone who hasn't had Sabbath. We pray that you would bring us rest in the midst of our lives, Lord, please, as we turn to you and as we make ourselves still before God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.